Welcome to the Chad Prather Show. As always, we come to you from Studio 22. All the cast of characters are in-house. Here's what we're going to do, Puppet Master Mark. We're going to do one big photo poster of everyone who is regularly on this show, and it's going to look like the latest Avengers movie. Like, put me in the center because,
of course.
Duh. And then we're going to put everybody around us, and you're going to be holding, you're going to be over all of us like Thanos, but you're going to be the puppet master
the
with
puppet
strings,
master.
And you're going to be like, we're all going to be attacked. But I think we all need a poster because I got a request this week from someone who said, could you send us an autographed picture? Sometimes, if it's a kid or something like that, I might send an autographed picture. But my wife takes that stuff seriously, so I'm always signing these pictures, sending them out. Yes, it's a thing, Heaton. It's a thing. And I just burped. So the guy sends a message after he gets the thing, and he goes, thank you for that, but I want a picture of everyone with everyone's signature. And I'm like, all right, let's do this thing. This podcast is going to be a true ensemble cast is what it's going to be.
I like that.
And today we're coming back to you with everybody's favorite episode, Highballs with Heaton. This is episode, I'm going to go with 5 or 6.
Real quick, I get a lot of autograph requests. People will email me and go, can you get me a Chad Prather autograph? And I'm like, why are you doing it? Like, it always makes me feel bad. Just tell me you like me and Chad. And they're like, can you pass this idea on to Chad? I'm like, well, how did I become the middleman?
I send all of those emails.
Yeah, well, you send them? That's like Party Foul Steve. Because folks that are watching this, we just had the Blaze TV's legal finally, after a month of fighting this thing, pull down someone's YouTube channel because they were ripping all of my stuff and they were posting it as their own. And so anyway, we had to pull down.
Coincidentally, my YouTube channel got shut down.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, if I could borrow some of your facial hair and just get some spirit gum and put it back on my face, don't do it.
We'll meet halfway.
There's not a woman on the planet that wants you to shave. That's not a thing. Women want beards. Women want beards. At this stage in the podcast, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you'll see the live comment sections right now. Women want beards.
Yeah. Well, I look better with a beard, but I look older with a beard. And that, but like, I'm 35, and I look like I could be a Lincoln impersonator tomorrow. And like, I'm afraid that any day now I'm going to implode and turn into bearded Ian McKellen. So like, I'm like, if I shave, I can go back. Me being 35, if I shave, I can go back to looking 38, which is the goal. I just want to stay there as long as I can.
I don't understand that as a beauty secret where you cover a third of your face.
Yeah,
you know, you just hide all the imperfections, which apparently are all below our nose, because I look like a dirty Q-tip. Like, this is bad. This is a bad look. I shaved my face for a movie role. I gained all this weight. You would think I would lose weight for a movie role. I look like a thumb in a cowboy hat. I'm so disgusted with myself right now. But then I look over and I see Jennings sitting in the peanut gallery. wearing Glenn Beck's cowboy hat.
Than the thumb.
It's party time, Mom. At least you have facial hair. At least there's definition between your face and your neck. Golly, Party Foul. Look at Party Foul looking sexy over there.
I look slim over here. Jennings.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is messed up. This is the worst passive-aggressive podcast. This cast of characters. But we're going to do the poster, Puppet Master. Candice. We're going to get Alexander Samosky on this deal. We're going to do it. All you got to do is look at my artwork from the Chad Prather Show. That's kind of the image we're going for. Like here I am, but I fade to black. But we're going to put all our faces around. Like, we're just going to be a cast of characters.
Okay, nice.
You know what's weird to me on that Avengers poster is how Mark Ruffalo appeared as Mark Ruffalo. He was Bruce Banner, not the Hulk. Like, how much money are they trying to save on this franchise that they can't take a picture of the freaking cartoon? Like, they can't. He wasn't even full Hulk on the last two movies. I mean, what happened with this? All of a sudden, now he's in the Hulk-like Iron Man suit in the one where everybody disappears. And then the one in the last one where, oh, God, I almost did something mean and gave a spoiler. But in this last one, have you not seen the movie yet?
Chad, I think you just out-nerded me. I've never been in this position with you.
But now the Hulk is like in Mark Ruffalo's voice wearing glasses. He's like the Hulk professor.
Did you read the comic books?
Yes.
So you know what happens in episode...
I read the original comic books, not this crap that came out after nerds started going to San Diego and getting together at a convention.
Nerds really ruined comic books.
Yeah, that was
like back when they were the province of jocks. Comic books were so much better.
Hey, look, to each their own. At least you found a place, Heaton. All I'm saying is, do you remember back when Star Wars was just a movie?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a bunch of freaking little Harlequin novels that everybody's reading, and you're finding out where Chewbacca came from. Nobody cared Kashyyyk. Where Chewbacca came from.
He came from Kashyyyk, Chad.
He came from Kashyyyk. He's 450 years old.
Yeah.
Which, actually, that means Han Solo is like, he's Chewbacca's dog. Think about it.
Yeah.
In terms of lifespan, Han Solo was Chewbacca's dog.
If I had a 400-year-old Labrador Retriever, it'd still be a dog. See, this is the stuff you want to hear.
No, but I'm talking about in terms of lifespan.
Okay. Yes. Okay. If it's based on seniority,
you will never have a 500-year-old Labrador Retriever.
Yeah,
and in this day and age, because of nerds breeding dogs, you'll never even have a pure-blooded Labrador Retriever. Because we've screwed everything up with Labradoodles and stupid crap like that. When are you going to take some responsibility?
I think I'm going to get a dog Memorial Day. I think I'm going to do that.
No, you're not. I had a dog.
When I first moved to New York, my dog was half, it was my roommate's dog, but it was half Corgi, half German Shepherd, which is just basically a dwarf German Shepherd. And it was awesome. And it, like, on top of that, I was dating a woman at the time. Thank you.
I was dating her.
And the dog didn't understand what kissing.
Was she 60? Was she a widow? Was this breakfast at
We're
Tiffany's?
Not allowed to say girl anymore, Chad. Did you not get this?
Did she know that you were dating?
That sounded so mature.
Let me finish my bit. My girlfriend would come over, and we would make out, and the dog didn't know what kissing was, so it would attack her because she thought that she was eating my face. And I, it was kind of a cock block, but at the same time, it was also really good that I knew that if she ever went crazy, the dog would be on my side. That was a great thing. That's my point, is sometimes hybrid dogs are good. Corgi German Shepherd, good dog.
This is why this is the most underrated combo on Blaze TV right here. Andrew Heaton and me. It's party time, Mom. This is the thing, man. I'm telling you, they just need to just forget it. Let's consolidate. Forget your...
You and I will eventually have a wagon show. Actually, I had a listener in my program who wants you and I to buy a van and just drive around L.A. and critique L.A., but then, like, crash other people's podcasts. And I was like, I don't think I can make that happen yet, but I'm gung-ho. That
Whose
sounds
idea
like a
was
really...
This?
Do what?
Whose idea was this?
One of the listeners in my program. The name escapes me presently, but I'll look it
up. That's fantastic.
But he was like, hey, Chad, I like it when you're on Chad Show, vice versa. Drive around L.A. and just critique L.A. There's some problems. I suspect he's right. And and then just go on other people's podcasts. And I was like, that actually sounds like a great idea.
Can I just tell you? And I apologize right now because I meant to send both you and Jennings this email the other day. So I'm going to call him a friend. My friend Harmon Leon, who is a gonzo journalist who inserts himself into these situations. He's mentioned him.
Yeah.
He's further left than Pluto. I mean, he's left. Crazy
it's
left.
The most progressive planet.
Yeah. So he just did an article on conservative comedy in The Observer, and he featured me and Nick DiPaolo.
Okay.
Now, he was fair to me. I don't think he was fair to DiPaolo, but DiPaolo... whatever. He's the way he is. And if you don't know Nick DiPaolo, Nick's a funny, funny comedian, but he's also very conservative. He also kind of puts his finger, you know, gives the finger to anybody that. And so in his newest comedy album, the art for it is he's giving a finger to protesters. Well, one of the protesters is a Black Lives Matter guy that got killed by police. And so bad PR in that regard. He didn't realize when they created the art he was giving the finger to a guy who got killed by cops. That being said, he went off and he started talking about conservative comedy. He says conservative comics always punch down versus liberal comics that punch up. So in other words, if you don't understand the comedy business, which trust me, I don't, punching up is whenever you go to the powers that exist and you're going after, like, say, the president, or you're going after the Congress or the Senate or
patriarchy.
The king. You're going after the big. Yeah, exactly. Punching down is you're picking on people with, a disability or something like that. You're going after that.
And you're going after minority, yeah.
And so he asked me this, and I said, look, I...
Well, hold on, real quick, I just want to throw out... I get asked that question a lot when I do interviews about comedy, of like punching up. I don't find comedy to be about punching.
Like, it's not about punching.
I find that such a weird conceit to be like, well, you must be fighting somebody, right? You must be picking it. Like, no, like, watch Monty Python. Who are they punching?
Right.
Like, it's like there's plenty of room to just be funny.
So I said to that point, and I agree with you, I said, well, I don't think that's a fair evaluation at all. First of all, my comedy is self-deprecating first and foremost, because if I can make fun of myself four times out of five, I can make fun of you the fifth time. And I can say any damn thing I want to say. I don't care if you're white, black, gay, straight, you know, skinny, fat. I don't care. I don't care what you are. I'm going to make fun of you.
Heaton is all those things.
I'm all those things.
I know you are.
I'm everything.
That
yes.
is. That
I'm
is.
A melange.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an Avengers poster of just Heaton, and it's going to be all the identities. That's fantastic.
Good.
That's fantastic.
It's going to help my hands.
Heaton will be the only puppet master holding the strings.
Yeah.
But we don't know which Heaton it is. It'll be the overlord master Heaton.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, with the comedy, though. Like it's there, and there's an interesting shift that happened. I think we might have talked about this on any number of prior episodes, but if we haven't, I think that like the moral majority has shifted left over the last few years. So when I was a kid, The Simpsons was
kind of the moralistic majority.
Just in general, I feel like moral certitude and having a lot of sacred cows is very difficult from a comedic perspective.
True.
So that works against social conservatives a lot too. If you're very religious and you're not there's just kind of an electric fence. I cannot say anything that involves God or religion. That's going to hurt you comedically. But at the same time, though, if you're going to go the other direction, and I've got all these strictures, I can't say girl, I have to say woman. I've got like all these, and I need to be, how am I going to address?
What's weird to me is that you do it, though.
Huh?
What's weird to me is that you do it.
Me?
You do it.
I do it to some extent.
You say woman instead of girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say chick.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the difference between me and you.
Yeah.
I make you uncomfortable.
I have one testicle, you have three.
I have one of yours.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's the smallest one in the sack. That's the thing, though. But you're right. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, as a slight modicum to me. Like, I'm not saying you should like roll belly up to anything. I will, in general, I'm going to try to accommodate people as best I can. But I'm not going to go out of my way to learn all of the rules. Like, there's a lot of social signaling that goes on.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, like everybody catch me. I said this thing and I made fun of the right group, whatever that group is. Or I did this and I made fun of them and they're the evil ones. Therefore, I am not a witch. Like, I don't do that. I'm not part of that whole thing.
So that's my thing is, so Harmon in this, and Harmon's been on this show before. He'll come back on this show. We'll talk about it. And I have no problem disagreeing with him. I also have no problem hearing his opinion. But here's a guy who says that he joined the Westboro Baptist Church and he joined the KKK in order to write articles about what it's like to be a Trump supporter. That's a BS way to come.
Oh, yes. You know, the core group of Trump supporters, so, all 72 people with both
exactly,
of the groups you
mentioned. Yeah, the 7,400 nationwide. You know, so that's the, you know, that's a WNBA game.
And it also, it belies something that I think is very problematic in the entire...
Well, it's true. WNBA is the least attended professional sports in the world. There might be 6,000 people that show up for a game. That's how many people you have.
There's nothing wrong with
so much as the joke, and we were laughing at that Heaton didn't get it.
I think Western basketball's fine. Whether you're from East or West NBA, it's okay.
Heaton still thinks they're throwing it into a beach basket and bringing out a ladder after every play.
No, it's good, but I think that part of that premise is that we are on a spectrum, and this is something that I hear a lot. I don't feel like I'm like because we're talking about left right. I don't usually use the terms left right because it implies that there's a binary option. You're either conservative or you're liberal. Well, I don't feel like I'm on that spectrum. So I don't really buy that. And you get into some weird things then where, like, if we're talking about Richard Spencer, then Richard Spencer, he's an extreme right winger or something. Well, so he's a bigot who's in favor of a bunch of economically progressive ideas. So like I look at that and I'm like, I feel like he's kind of his own thing. But a lot of people would be like, well, the more conservative you get, the more towards that you become.
It's
like,
Richard Spencer's the right
standard. So basically, I look at that, I'm like, you know, I've got a lot of conservative friends that I would not say, like, the essence of their conservatism is some modicum of racism.
It's an asshole.
Yeah,
I don't measure you based on the biggest asshole in the room. That's a bad way to go to the prom.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just a dude. Now I'm getting compared because I wore a pink boutonniere.
Maybe when it comes to politics, there's more than two opinions, you know? Like, I think
we're political orphans.
330, exactly. We've got 330 million people in America. I think that there's more than two ways of looking at things.
Oh, of course there is. I mean, there's every labelization that you can do out there, you know? Mm-hmm. But back to the thing on that, and I want your opinion on this, and I know we're way off track, but I don't care, because you know what?
We're not off track because we haven't even
pulled out the question yet. We're the masters of our own destiny, my friend.
That's right, yeah.
And we are also the most underrated thing on Blaze TV.
Agreed, agreed.
So therefore, we will continue to show the mastery of this genius. But Harmon said basically, because I pointed out the fact, I said, I don't think about the punching thing. I don't think that's a fair assessment. But what I do, like, if I can make fun of you, I'm going to make fun of you. But I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the president. I don't care if you're, you know, Petey that bought the bird for $5 because he's blind and the bird's head fell off. Anyway, so it's a Dumb and Dumber joke. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Jim Carrey. I love Jim Carrey.
Basketball.
Basketball. Peach basket. But I said that Alec Baldwin said in an interview 2 weeks ago, I said, here's the issue, because his point was, why are there no conservative talk shows that work? Why are there no conservative comedians that get themselves in the mainstream? Well, I can tell you why, because the power brokers that are out there, the puppet masters, if you will, they're liberal, and they're not going to let that voice be heard. Come on, man. Look, Last Man Standing has been killing it. It's been killing it for season after season on this stuff. Tim Allen has a mostly liberal writing crew, but they write right. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, why isn't it accepted? I said, well, because of the power brokers that are out there. But Alec Baldwin said that outside of L.A. and New York, America is made up of flyover Americans. And I said, that pisses me off. Like, if you're going to consider us flyover Americans, like, we don't count unless we're in the L.A. or New York City bubble. That's ridiculous. And so he countered on that and basically said that my audience, or a Nick DiPaolo audience, were tiki torch carrying, red hat, MAGA, Klan, you know, sheet wearing. And I'm like, come on, dude. That has nothing to do.
Well, may I compliment Alec Baldwin on really promoting Donald Trump then? Because that's
really
the kind
did.
Of thing that makes Donald Trump supporters. And I'm not saying that everybody's in that camp, but I'm going to say, like, me being from Oklahoma, like, I know a lot of people that weren't even that enthused about Donald Trump, but were so pissed off at being spoken down to by a group of people from where I used to live in New York City or from elsewhere, that whose political motto was basically, shut up and eat your vegetables, you dumb yokel. And, like, weirdly enough, towering contempt is not a great way to convert people to your cause. I think that's a terrible, and breaking that down to the idea that there are no there aren't any conservative comedians. Basically what he's saying is there aren't conservative comedians, because you can't be funny and conservative. You can only be good and intelligent if you're progressive. That in and of itself, I mean, Bob Hope was a Republican. He did pretty well. Dennis Miller, I don't feel like Dennis. I suspect Dennis Miller probably has had a comparable sense of humor the last few years.
Reasonably developed,
like
yes.
You know, he did okay. Like Colin Quinn, I don't know quite where he is, but I suspect
you're
that Colin
much
Quinn
close
would,
to that. Bill Burr is another one.
Yeah, and yeah. Bill Burr is like, God, Bill Burr is like a, he's probably a Democrat, but he is way, way, way more comfortable kicking every single social liberal construct than I am.
He probably is a Democrat, but he's extremely a libertarian Democrat.
Yeah,
much so.
But yeah, like, maybe there's more than two options. And then there's a lot of things you can lob at that too. Like Lorne Michaels, a couple of years ago, they interviewed him maybe 4 years ago now, and they asked something about that, and like, he was kind of bald faced about it, and he was like, "Well, whenever we make fun of Democrats on Saturday Night Live, everybody flips out, so we just quit doing it." Like, I'm paraphrasing here, but kind of, I looked at that and I went, "Well, is it that conservatives can't make a joke, or is it that liberals can't take a joke?"
Can't take a joke,
because that's something worth thinking about.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, it's been a good show, Chad.
I just did my facial hair.
I'll see myself to the door.
Anyway, I'm going to send you this article. It's going to piss you off, because I know you guys, and you're smart enough to see that. It's like what you say a minute ago about in Alec Baldwin. He doubled down on it because the interviewer tried to give him an out. Like, did you really mean to say? And he was like, oh, no. And he doubled down on it. So anyway. All right. On Highballs with Heat, not only do we fix the world's problems about things you don't care about, but only we do. We also talk about things that, things we probably disagree on. Let's pull something out of the head and see. Candice, are you okay? Look at Candice over here just lounging, just kicking it back over here.
Right.
Queen of the Ethiopians.
I do what I can.
Oh, bless you. Who's drinking the Coke Zero in my set?
Uh-oh. That would be me.
Heaton, is it any good? Are you over there going through the head?
I haven't opened it, but can I say a quick thing to go back to our earlier topic, though?
Yeah, please.
Like I've got
it's
a lot.
It's your show, too.
Thank you. I've got family in Alva, Oklahoma, and I've got family in Edmond, Oklahoma, and they're lovely people. And if my friends from New York got...
God bless Buddy Heaton.
Buddy Heaton.
He's got other families
probably
in Oklahoma
dead.
He just doesn't know about yet.
Yeah. We've got a lot of people in prison and outside. But my family in Alva, who are very traditional people, I'm 100% confident that if I called them, again, these are people that go to a Methodist and a Baptist church and all that, they live in Alva, Oklahoma. If I called them and was like, by the way, I'm gay and I'm going to be taking my boyfriend home for Thanksgiving this year, I think they would go, okay, can you tell Jerome to bring potato salad? Like, they would, like, 100% invite me in.
You'd
like,
have a black boyfriend?
Yeah.
That's
if
revelational.
If I'm going to go gay, I'm going to guess. Absolutely. But my point is, I think that they would be 100%. I don't like it when the Alec Baldwins of the world, like make these swings at all these good people that I'm related to. Anyway,
everybody in this room heard black boyfriend. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know a white Jerome.
Okay. Anyway, here's the topic for today.
You had Sebastian Unger on your show, right?
Yeah, it's Sebastian Unger on the show. Yeah,
let's talk about that after the show. But... Anyway, go back and watch Highballs. I'm not Highballs with Heaton, but something's off with Andrew Heaton.
The question for today is, do all people have equal value?
No.
Depends? What are we talking about?
Let's define
economic value. No.
Value.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
exactly.
Value. What is value? So economic value, no. In terms of contribution value, no.
I think I'm a no on this, to be honest with you. I'd say like where I'm egalitarian is I think like everybody has a base level of human dignity and everybody has a base level of rights. So like everyone's equal in that capacity. But
in terms of dignity, I will agree with you. Yes.
But in terms of value towards other people, if that's the metric by which we're looking at it, then I'd say no. Like it's
so let's clear. Let me ask you this thing, because this is a big pro-abortion argument that's going around right now.
Oh, okay. So we were going to agree.
I know, right? Like, so we were almost there.
I don't.
But that's not how I do. Well, it's not how at all we do this show. So I keep hearing people who say, okay, if a clinic was on fire and there was this, you know, bottle of human zygotes that were somehow existing in a whatever.
It's just a normal everyday Tuesday situation, folks.
And then there was a five-year-old in the other room, but you could only save one. Are you going to save this 100 babies, potential human beings that are, you know, in the tube over here? Or are you going to save the five-year-old? What are you going to save? And I've had people who have said on social media, I've watched them say this, I have yet to hear a pro-lifer give an adequate, logical answer for that. Well, for me, it's not that hard. I'd save the five-year-old. Just like if there was a 75-year-old in the other room versus a five-year-old, I'd still save the five-year-old. All right? Okay. It's the same deal.
See, I would just go with whichever one's lighter. If it's like a 5-pound bottle of zygotes, I'm going to go with that. If it's
can I put this in my pocket?
I'm like, who's screaming louder? That's who I'm going after.
Yeah, I appreciate your nobility, Chad.
Now, we have Chad Robichaud, who's an MMA fighter who's consistently on the show. He's what, pushing 5'2"? I mean, he's an MMA world champ, 8-time deployed Afghanistan, JSOC, Force Recon Marine. I don't even ask the guy how many people he's killed. But I know how many he's beat up, and I'm like, I can't even put him in my pocket, because if we're basing it on size or likeness, that ain't going to work. So, yeah, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Okay, so what's worth more?
Well, yeah, so why would you pick the five? Because like I think a lot of the pro-life perspective is that at conception, it is a child.
Yeah.
It is a person, right? So why would you do that?
And again, for the abortion thing, I'm taking the abortion thing aside. For me, it's more about, again, let's go back to the topic at hand, and that's the value of life. Come here to me. Come here to me, Heaton.
Yeah, now that we're talking about abortion, we really should have whiskey.
You know what? Hey, at least you can still get somebody pregnant. Thank you, whiskey.
Well, I'm trying.
We'll see what happens later tonight. Anyway, not with me. We usually go to dinner after this, so y'all are welcome. It's party
is
time.
Is Jerome
on.
Coming?
It's party time. You can't
if so,
get Jerome
tell him to
pregnant.
Bring some stuffing.
You can't get Jerome.
I feel
pregnant.
Like I made this misstep, making this wonderful exegesis about how tolerant Alva, Oklahoma is. I'm going to get pillared for this.
We Listen, all love Jerome.
I'm going to go down right now and just make a bet that that's the first time the words Alva, Oklahoma and exegesis have ever been used in the same sentence.
Alva, Oklahoma, proud home of Northwestern State University. I'm sure that there have been people that have said exegesis.
I'm sure they have, but not in the same sentence as Alva. They haven't mentioned both of them together. Okay, so my thing is, why would I pick the five-year-old? Well, because it's a five-year-old. And the five-year-old can scream for help. The five-year-old has a future. The five-year-old has a viability of life. We already know that the five-year-old is alive. We know that the five-year-old. So what are you comparing it to? The bucket of zygotes or the 75-year-old? The 75-year-old, in that regard, in my opinion, has lived their life.
Okay.
You know what? Get your own scrawny ass out of the burning building.
Well, so no, this is good. So the 75-year-old and the bucket of zygotes, you'd go bucket of zygotes.
I'd have to think about that bucket of zygotes thing.
Well, but like same logic though, like the 75-year-olds live their life, all that stuff.
The other side of that logic is I would have to sit there and say, okay, so if we're talking about, you know, in
you would have to save yourself first because you're carrying around a bucket of.
I, you know what? Now that I'm back in the flaming barn, I'm going to go. I don't feel comfortable making this decision. I'm just going to leave.
Come on. Here's what you do. You go grab the 75-year-old and you say, look here, carry this bucket.
How many zygotes can you hold, old timer?
Like, I don't trust a 5-year-old to carry the friggin' bucket without spilling zygotes all over the room. Like, here's the thing. I need you to carry this bucket. Can you do this for me? There's a 5-year-old in the back room.
But Chad, if it's a paraplegic 75-year-old
they're
toast. A bucket of zygotes, you're going to, okay, all right.
I can put the paraplegic in the bucket.
Okay.
Save them all at once.
All right.
No, but it's a ludicrous argument because how many times, again, when are you going to be in a room? But let's go back to, let me finish that thought. When are you going to be in a room with a bucket of potential human life forms that aren't even human life forms at that point?
Well, you see what I'm saying? Due to downsizing, I now live at a sperm bank. So I could be, for me,
I'm going to get drawer 5 and drawer 15 and drawer 17, drawer 11.
Yeah, but for regular people, though, I don't know.
I'm going to get this cup and that cup.
Come on, guys, come on. Everybody jump in the Gatorade cooler.
Okay, swim, let's go. Let's go. I'm just going to pour a bunch of water on the floor. Fend for yourselves.
Swim to the Pacific. One of you can make it.
It's like Finding Nemo. But at the sperm bank.
Just swim towards
swimmers. In a bag. Come on, all of our pressure going this way. Oh, my God, I love this show. But let's go back to value.
Right.
Who's more valuable? Look at Jennings and look at Party Foul Steve. Look at these two specimens of humanity. Look at both of them. They sit over there silently, staring.
Drink it in, folks.
Like, which do you save?
And I do not have the bucket of zygotes as an answer.
So, like, both of these guys fulfill me in different ways.
He may fulfill you.
I don't really want to talk about that on camera.
One fulfills me in intellectual ways by helping me think of
which one's that?
That's you. And another one fulfills me in some very common sense kind of ways and also in physical kind of ways. I don't mean like that kind of physical, but he travels with me on the road and I have carried more bags and luggage than I can carry by myself. So in that sense, he's very valuable. You're both very valuable.
Are you wanting us to fill a bucket with zygotes?
But if I had to pick one of you to euthanize, it would be you, Jennings, because we're all trying to eat.
I knew it.
You're the only guy in this room that pays me, so I would get you out of the room.
I'd kill Jennings. I've known him 20 years. And
he already tries to kill me.
Jennings has so much crap on me. Like, if I needed to get rid of blackmail tomorrow, the one person to kill would be Jennings. So I feel like that would probably be a smart move. What do you think?
Well, I think that you should stop saying the word blackmail because we all think Jerome when you say it.
There's so many people turning off this podcast right now.
That's like, my career's going to end over me defending Alva for being a tolerant place.
Have you ever taken a Jerome to Alva, Oklahoma?
No, I took a vegetarian girlfriend at one point. I was actually kind of worried about
worse.
That.
That is worse.
No, because I got to say, like, these people, like I'm a comedian, and so they're like, you know, we all love Cousin Andy, and he just tells jokes. Great. Like, because, like, these are very practical people. No, I did bring a vegetarian girlfriend. I was really worried about that because my Uncle Dan is a cattle farmer. And I was, like, that was more worried about that than I was about any religious thing. Like, if it was, like, well, they're all Protestant and, like, you know, if she was an atheist or something like that. No, but they were fine, though. They were great.
Hollywood keeps bringing me out to pitch these sitcom ideas. I want to do the Heatons.
Great.
I do. Here's this intellectual libertarian agnostic named Andy Heaton.
Yeah.
And the rest of the family, Buddy Heaton.
Buddy Heaton, yeah.
Dean Heaton. I don't even know who Dean is, but that's a funny.
Did we, because we talked about Buddy Heaton when we were hanging out last time. Yeah. Did we bring him up on the show at all for people in terms of context? I don't think we did.
We didn't.
Buddy Heaton is a distant relative of mine who is probably dead, and he is a, or was a rodeo clown with an extensive criminal background. An extensive criminal background. Like, I grew up... Again, going back to Alva, Uncle Dan, the cattle farmer, would come in when I was a little kid. This would be like Christmas, circa 1998, and he'd come in and go, "You guys hear about Buddy? Cancer got him." And we're like, "Oh, man." And then the following year, Uncle Gary, the other uncle, would come in, "You guys hear about Buddy? Faked his death, tax evasion." And this, I had this mythical member of my family that would die and come back from the dead. And the last time anybody saw him in his hometown of Hopeton, Kansas, he came through with a semi truck and he parked the car at sunset. And he's like, "I'm from Hopeton, Kansas, beloved native son. Every kid gets a bicycle." And he started pricing up bicycles and stuff. And the following day, the FBI came because he'd just stolen a semi truck full of bicycles. He's absolutely ready to be a sitcom character.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Santa.
Oh yeah, he'd get. I've tried tracking down stuff. There are weird stories in my family where there's one about how he owned land that had a railroad line that crossed it, and the story is that he tried to rob a train car because there was a federal train carting plutonium. And so, I think that we basically got drunk and watched Back to the Future and merged the plots.
Build a pinball machine for the Iranians.
Yeah, yeah. But no, he did that. He used to. I've caught this in newspapers. He got drunk and he would when we visited a new city, he'd go to Salt Lake City, Utah, and he would get drunk and ride his bison up and down an elevator shaft until the police came. And that's just what he would do. This is before Netflix, what people had to do.
His bison?
He had a bison named Snuffer. I think it was Snuffer, and it was a white bison. It actually had a stage name. I'm not making any of this up. It had a stage name and a real name. I don't know why your bison needs a stage name, but he would get into the elevator and he'd get really drunk and he would just ride it up and down all day in the Salt Lake City Tribune.
I hate you, Eaton.
This is a great conversation about abortion.
This is the I've had to listen to for 18 years. 18 years I've been listening to this.
Let me tell you something. I've been on the road for 10 days. I'm exhausted. I got home on Sunday and I just crashed. I couldn't open my eyes for 24 hours. And I don't care if anyone enjoys these episodes. They are therapeutic for me. I love them. The randomness of it, just the sheer random. We have an audience out there. It might not be the 45 to 65 year old desperate housewife demographic, Trump voting, looking for a man, women out there. But let me tell you, there are a lot of Jeromes out there looking for us.
Good.
But so we can come down to the fact and say that people all have the same value in terms of their dignity, in terms of their creation, which you don't believe in.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, philosophically, you can't say people have the same value.
Ooh, can I not?
No, you can't, because you believe in evolution.
Damn, okay. All right. Do you not believe in evolution?
No.
When do you think the Earth was made?
I believe in divine creation.
How long ago?
I know where you're baiting me to go.
No. Because I feel so Darwin was British, and there was this kind of weird thing where most of the English clerics just went, okay, God made evolution. That was never really a thing for them.
Well, exactly. Well, they had to justify that. You know, was there a fiat creation? Was there one big snap of the fingers? I tend to not believe that.
They would say that evolution is a tool of the divine, the same way erosion or anything else.
I can see that, and I could also probably defend that, although I don't necessarily believe that. I am a shorter age of the Earth, but I'm not a short age Earther. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the Earth is 10,000 years old, but I don't think the Earth is billions and billions of years old. I believe that's a construct of those who are evolutionists, because they do need as much time as possible in order to make all this stuff work.
I didn't want to say anything, but we've been planning this. We've been trying to push back the age of the Earth, and you're exactly right.
Time plus slime, man. 20, that's what you got to have to get this kind of perfection.
Yeah, G.K. Chesterton wrote a book called...
Be careful whose name you take in vain now.
I like G.K. Chesterton.
I'm a huge Chesterton fan.
I'm a Chesterton fan. I'm a C.S. Lewis fan as well. Chesterton, he wrote Orthodoxy, which is the only book with which I'm really familiar with his canon.
Great stuff.
But he wrote another book, and he talks about in it that there's an odd thing that happens with human psychology where if something happens really slowly, it makes more sense to us. And he brings up evolution, which was kind of in the dock at the time. And he says, like, if you saw a guy walking across the sky, you wouldn't be like, he's walking slowly, it's fine. Like, you know, there's something to that.
My thing there is, if you go back to Darwinian thought, true Darwinian thought, whenever he wrote evolution, you know, when he wrote and came out with this thing of, I mean, it was called, when he writes the origin of, where do I want to go with this without going too deep in it, Heaton? When he writes Origin of the Species, the preservation of the favored races of life, that is inherently racist, okay? That's inherently racist. So what that says is there are some out there who are not favored races. There is not the preservation of those favored races. So that means, therefore, some are more, quote, ape-like than others, which by its very definition and by the declination of what he was writing says that people can't be of the same value as somebody else.
Okay.
Now, look, I can take myself and a person of African-American or whatever, black, whatever you want to call it, we are a 0.00001% difference, and it only comes down to the melatonin of our skin. Otherwise, mm-hmm. as a human being, as a Homo sapiens, there is no biological difference in us. There's plenty of cultural difference, but biologically there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what someone like Darwin was saying. Now, was Darwin onto something? Possibly. But I've seen evolution in the terms of something becoming more of what it already is, but I haven't seen a true evolution where something has come over to being something that it was not before.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's adaptation, not evolution.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not familiar with that part of Darwin, but it wouldn't surprise me if I think 18th century thinker, I guess 19th century, but he's like 1840 or so. It wouldn't surprise me if he also was like into phrenology and had
you're
like
talking about feeling the bumps on people's heads.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Nor would it. Or if he was like, because there was this weird thing for a long time, like all the Europeans were in this big race to find like the earliest skeleton, because the thinking was that you wanted to confirm that your country was the origin point. So like a Pilton man or whatever it was, like the Germans are like, okay, we confirmed it, we're the origin point of mankind.
Yeah.
And like now we're all kind of thinking like, well, we probably came out of Africa. That's what we think now. So it wouldn't surprise me if Darwin thought that. But it's also like from my vantage point, if I agree with Darwin about this one thing, I don't have to agree with him about all these other things. Because like for me, like Darwin is not a religious inflection. It's just a basket of ideas. And I'm at liberty to pick the good ideas and the bad ideas. So if he had some like racial supremacist ideas, I'd be like, well, that's terrible. I don't agree with that. But like the bit about like, you know, survival of the fittest and all that, and that seems like a pretty good one. I'll take that.
Do you remember, if you see the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Do you remember the
great bluegrass
scene?
Film. It's
my favorite all-time movie, quite honestly. Just, I mean, and that's hard to pick a favorite movie. But when they escape and they get on to the, you know, the old blind man. And this is, of course, this is the Odyssey. This is Homer's The Odyssey. It's a retelling of the Odyssey. It's Ulysses. And so they're on the deal, and the guy's pumping the deal, and he's prophesying to him. Here's this old black man. He's blind. And they're all getting, these prisoners are on there. And he's like, I have no name. You seek a treasure. And they're like, And so anyway, they get off there, and the guy's going, and he said, but it is a treasure you will not find. And so he's like, well, you know, the blind have been known to possess a certain ability to see, you know, reality the way that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, basically, he's saying, yeah, this guy's a mystic prophet. You know, he possesses a second sight. And so the little guy says, but he says we will not obtain the treasure. He says, what does he know? He's just an ignorant old man. So that's basically kind of what you're saying, Heaton.
Yeah.
It's basically saying, okay, look, these guys possess all this insight until he gets to something we don't like. Yeah. And he's like, well, basically, they didn't know what we know.
No, you can be a moron and have a good idea. 100%. You can be a moron and have a good idea.
You're just like, well,
that's
a
good
fact.
Idea. I'll take that one, but I don't like this other bit. Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Anyway. All I'm saying is, based on that worldview, you can't say that everybody has the same value, because somebody is going to evolve faster or more readily or more fully than another person has.
Well, I think based on my worldview, myself and the other people with my worldview have to impart the value to others, right?
Oh, so we have to assess them. You just them. Made yourself superior to people.
No,
you
no,
can't
for me.
Something
No. Hold on. I have to be the one determining value based for me, because I'm not accepting it from a foreign source.
So you're saying you value them regardless of their inabilities.
All I'm saying is it's ultimately a social
infertility.
Construct. It's a social construct. So,
insecurities.
Yes. So, like in my case, being a very insecure, infertile guy.
Handicaps.
Yeah.
Color of skin.
I'm going to base a whole thing around
height.
Me. Yeah, I'm a tall guy that's infertile and insecure, and so I want that to be okay. And so, yes, I'm going to do all these things. I think, from my vantage point, it's all a social construct, because remember, I live in a universe of moist robots. That's it. We're all moist robots. We live in a cosmos.
Moist, robotic, political
chemicals.
Orphans.
It's just, I believe in chemicals and infinity. Those are the two things I believe in. So within that, you have to figure out what you think, what you believe in, all that. So in terms of dignity, like dignity is a made up concept, right? So from my vantage point.
No.
So, what? Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's an imparted concept.
Okay. Well, that's where
disagree. We've disagreed on everything. Okay, how is dignity a made up concept?
Well, if you're a moist robot in a universe that's full of nothing but chemicals and math, then dignity is what you impart on it, right? So, like from where I'm at, I would like all people to have equal dignity, but I don't believe that there's any type of inherent Obi-Wan Kenobi-like energy that's pervading them. It's just that we all kind of agree that that's a good way to go about it.
So hopefully the midichlorians test out.
Yes.
And there's enough
hopefully
of them in
so.
Our blood to make us worthy of the Jedi.
Yeah, science, don't go looking for midichlorians. Leave that on the table. We would prefer that to be kind of open the air.
So my thing is, so basically it takes a supreme group of human beings who are going to impart dignity to the rest of the world.
To be very, very clear, I am not saying that there's any type of group that imparts dignity to you. What I'm saying is that if you are not accepting a framework from another person, then you ultimately are the one that's coming up with how you interact with the world, right? So I'm not saying that dignity is imparted to you by some group. I'm saying that if it's all made up, then you're participating in what you think it should be valued.
Yeah. Well, again, I come back from an imparted dignity, because I believe that we're created in God's image, which is a place where we're going to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
For now, you'll come around.
I hope so. I hope I get struck by lightning, and then there's like a big boom in the sky, and God goes, I exist. And I'm like, I'll go back to coffee hour.
I assure you, that will never happen. That will never happen. There's a lot of people in the world who wish it would happen. So anyway, and here it was, Candice wanted us to pull two topics out of the hat. Never!
Didn't work.
And we went an hour and 84 minutes.
It feels that way. We actually went 42 minutes.
That's pretty good.
I know. Yeah. But there's some things to think about.
Yeah, we had a bunch of things, yeah.
That's the beauty of what we do, is we give everyone their opinions. We impart their dignity to them.
And I agree. I think this is the best thing on the blaze. I think this is the best
100%.
Thing. 100%. Yeah, I love doing this.
We have so risen above the levels of these savages like Beck and Bergier and Levin.
His real name's Steven.
It's Steven.
Yeah.
I know.
They don't tell you that, but his real name's Steven. Ask him why.
I know. We're so savages. Here we are. Here we are, soon to be unemployed. They're going to impart to us the dignity, which is called unemployment. But you know what? We're going to have a great friggin' poster that was going to have all of our faces on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be like, bam, there it is. Then we're going to make a movie.
I want to be the raccoon. I want to be the raccoon.
That's the one that's coming out as gay. They have an Avengers character who's coming out as gay. You just thought this was the last Avengers movie. It's only just going to be Avengers without Iron Man in it. They're going to do so many more Avengers movies, and one of them's coming out as gay, and I promise you, it's going to be the raccoon.
I'm going to steal Jerome away from Heaton.
Yeah. Hey, you can name a raccoon Jerome.
That green woman's hot.
Green woman, she's dead.
No, she's not.
Oh, is she back? I was slept through the last 30 minutes of the movie. That's all I'm gonna
Maybe
say.
She did die in the movie.
She died early.
Did she come
on
back?
In the movie. They're back.
She's 5 years younger.
Hey. They so did that. Like, here's what pisses me off, Heaton. is that people spent 8 years of their life watching Game of Thrones like it with a religious fervor. I mean, like, only to the goat. They named their children.
Yeah, that was
after
great.
After the characters.
Turns out Daenerys wasn't a good bet. I love that.
Khaleesi.
Yeah.
My chick's still alive. She went west of Westeros.
Hey, no spoilers.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
shut up.
Do you
know all I know is there's a midget and nipples. That's the only thing that old show.
No, that's what
there
makes
was a dragon.
Show.
There were nipples.
That's what
there's
makes,
a midget.
See, that's what makes that show great is that they took what I already love, which are the books by George R. R. Martin, and they slimmed
didn't finish
them,
the books.
They slimmed them down, and they added nudity. Thank you, HBO. Thank you for that. If you took the prequels from Star Wars and you took out Jar Jar Binks and you added some tasteful sex scenes, I think they'd be pretty good movies.
We're only one half of a generation away from naked Star Wars sex scenes.
I hope.
We're getting close. We're getting
I
close.
Hope my kids are able
There's
to
gonna
partake
be a Leia
that.
Prequel. Oh, boy, the buns. I mean, the ones on the side of her head. Those are the hair buns, anyway. But they took 8 years of people's lives, and they boiled it down to one season that made everybody hate that show. That's the way I see it.
Mm.
The power of media. Well, you know what? Not all television shows are created equal, and according to Andrew Heaton, neither are human beings. And that's our takeaway in this episode of High Balls with Heaton.
Yeah, that's the
synopsis. For the Jack Brather Show. We're going to come do this thing again. We're going to drink some. Oh, we never talked about the Nika coffee grain whiskey from Japan. We drank the entire bottle. That's why we make as much sense as we do.
Yeah.
We really do. And I'm sorry that Harry Truman dropped
but
a bomb.
You and I both seem very articulate, but when we listen to this in retrospect sober, is it just us screaming at each other?
My mother hates
it. Is that it?
My mother. It's the best thing on Blaze TV.
I agree.
It's the best thing.
Yeah.
It's the most logical, succinct, sacrosanct, and I don't even know what sacrosanct means, but mm-hmm. It sounds like it fits in that
I'm going to put that on the ad copy for when I promote it. Yeah, sacrosanct.
Yes. It's intelligent. This is a discussion that people should have.
Mm-hmm.
People are literally going to walk away from this episode with no idea if their life possesses value or not. You're going to say, I hope I gave it to you. I'm going to say, I hope God gave it to you. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're probably a loser that was watching Game of Thrones. I love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.